Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah 63:7 through 9. I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, "Surely they are my people, children who will be true to me." And so he became their Savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, today is a conglomeration of many events in worship. All Saints Sunday, so remembering the loved ones we've lost in the last year. Communion Sunday, remembering the Last Supper and the beginning of the church's spiritual meal, the Eucharist, which is God's special provision for us. And Family Sunday, when all families come together to worship together. Since it was Family Sunday, we told our daughter Alexis, "Hey, you got to come back from college, you know, and be with us." And so, okay, actually that didn't happen. She just happened to be here on Family Sunday, so we're thankful for that. But today we want our theme to be the theme that the kids are going to be talking about for the next month. And we won't do this every month, but this month we thought, no, this connects well. And so we wanted you all to hear this. And the theme is gratitude or thankfulness. Gratitude or thankfulness, which happens to fit really well with all the other things that we're celebrating today, All Saints Day, Communion. We are thankful for the lives of our beloved friends and family members. That's why we said their names and we're thinking of them. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for the communion table. We're thankful for what this represents to the church, that this is a good gift. We're thankful for the life of Jesus that provides us this opportunity. And so the theme fits really well with the month we are in also because of Thanksgiving. That's right. Thanksgiving. It's time to start thinking about turkey and stuffing and pie and all those different good things. And I hope, speaking of all those things, that you picked up your pies from the United Methodist Women in Faith this last month. I hope you've got all those. I'm sure we still have some that still need to be picked up. But I know that most of us were all stocked up on pies. We're looking forward to providing several pre-made slam dunk desserts for Thanksgiving, right? Is anybody else here thankful for the United Methodist Women in Faith putting all those pies together for us? Yeah? My waistline thanks you. I hope not. The men help too? Okay. Thank you guys for rolling up your sleeves, getting in there, getting it done. Well, today I want us to talk about how gratitude is both an attitude and an exercise. Gratitude is both an attitude and an exercise. Gratitude is an attitude of being thankful for the life that you have, for the life that you have lived, for all of it. And I will admit that sometimes the quality of your life can make that easier or harder. The quality of life that you've had. Sometimes people just have a pretty good life, don't they? They've done pretty well for themselves. Things have lined up for them. Things seem to have gone their direction in life. Why wouldn't they be thankful? After all, they have it all. Everything that was supposed to really happen, happened for them. And yet, aren't you occasionally surprised when someone who seems like they have it all does something to jeopardize it all, to jeopardize every good thing that they had, because they really didn't feel like they had enough, even though they seemed like to us somebody who had it all? Or they weren't happy with a relationship or a job or whatever, and we're like, "My gosh, I'd kill for that job. I wish I had that kind of relationship. What happened there?" So there is this side of us that may always think, you know what? If my life were just 50% better or 25% better or just 10% better, then I'd be thankful. Like, then I'd really be thankful for the life that I have. But living with gratitude is the attitude of being thankful right now for the life that you have been given in all of its entirety. Seeing your life as a good gift from God. So gratitude is an attitude, but it is also an exercise. Exercise is something you do that puts your body in motion. Yeah? As much as we would like to just be able to sit around and think about exercise and then benefit from it, I've tried to master this one. It's just not working for me yet. You got to get off the couch, you got to apply yourself, you got to get the wheels motion, and that's what creates some changes in your life. And friends, gratitude's the same way. You know, is this health thing? Gratitude's the same way. You can think to yourself, yeah, Pastor Jim, I hear you. I am so grateful for my life. I am so grateful for my faith. But do you regularly exercise your thankfulness? Do you exercise your gratitude? Do you turn it into action or not? Or do you not ever turn it into action? Do you give it words? Do you give it motion? Because gratitude is not just an attitude, it's also an exercise. And it calls you to participate in it in many ways. And so in the book of Isaiah, the Israelites are exercising their gratitude towards God and their faith, is what Barbara was reading us. And so verse 7 says, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised. And so there in one verse, both a verbal and physical demonstration of their gratitude, of Isaiah's gratitude. And so they are speaking, putting it into words of God's kindness towards them. They're getting specific about what exactly they're thankful about. And then they are praising God. Praise. You know, praise is an action, right? Praise is an action. And for them, it was likely getting hands up in the air. It was likely bowing. It was likely cheering. Like, this is 3,000 years ago, folks. They're tribal, right? They're getting tribal about this praise to God, this action that ensues. And so Isaiah goes on in verse 9. If you remember, he said, in all their distress, he too was distressed. And the angel of his presence saved them. So, you know, when he's talking about this distress, in all their distress, he too was distressed. Like, Isaiah seems to be speaking in the past tense, isn't he? He's talking in the past tense. And he's even talking, I think, about their ancestors, their ancestry, how God provided for ancestors long before them. And he's likely speaking of a work that God did in the past to save the Israelite people, likely referring to Moses and their escape from the Egyptians, because that was a penultimate moment for his people. Because in that moment, their race was almost wiped off the face of the earth. And so you'll notice in the scripture, there's constantly in the Old New Testament, this movement back to referring to that work that God did in that moment, because otherwise there wouldn't be an Israelite people. There wouldn't be a Jewish people. And so what Isaiah is doing is he's helping the Israelites experience gratitude both as an attitude and as an exercise by remembering that something happened long ago that was very good for him and for his people. Because I have to tell you, if you've ever read the book of Isaiah, it is not all rainbows and unicorns for the Israelite people. It's not. It's a hard book. It's a hard book to read. The prophet Isaiah is speaking primarily about the destruction of Israel and Jerusalem, the impending destruction and the happening destruction, but then God's kind of reckoning of his people and his desire to reckon what happened to them. And friends, it got really bad for a while. It got really bad in their lives. And Isaiah even said that it was God that brought it about, that brought about some of those bad things. It was God's judgment upon his people. Why judgment? Why punishment? Because for a long time, the Israelite people, they weren't grateful for their God. They did not have gratitude towards God. They were disrespectful to God. They worshiped other gods and turned to other gods. And so the chapter we're in today, it's at the very end of the book of Isaiah. Like, we're in the last handful of chapters. And at this point, at the very end of the book of Isaiah, it's a little bit like a choose-your-own-adventure ending. Do you remember the choose-your-own-adventure books, right? Like, go to this page if you want to go this route, or go to this page if you want to go this way. And so Isaiah is a little bit like, Israel, you choose now. You choose. Will you look at your past, and because of your past, will you choose to curse God because of these bad things that happened? Or will you be grateful towards God? And will that be your future? Will we as a people for our future be grateful for all that's happened to us? Or will we curse God and move away? Because here's the deal, friends. Isaiah was like, it's a mixed bag back there, isn't it? Like, there was some great stuff, but there was some really horrible stuff too. There's some stuff back there that it hurt a little. And so Isaiah is asking the Israelites, he's kind of like, so how do you want to land this plane? How do you want to come down on this? Because it's time now for us to make a decision and to land this plane and to move forward. Friends, isn't this true for most of us in this room too? Haven't we all come to points? Haven't we all watched other people we know and love kind of come to this point of having to make this decision? Yeah, you know, you bet. Many things I'm really thankful for. Many things that went really well. But man, some of the stuff back there, it stung. It stung. It hurt. And Pastor Jim, like, I got to be honest, like, I don't know that I'm over it yet. Like, some of that stuff still hurts. Some of that stuff I still have some fear over, some anxiety over, some sadness over, some bitterness over. Friends, church, you too, like the Israelites, we all have to make this choice. You have to make this choice to either choose thankfulness, even though some of life was really hard, or not. Or not. So living a grateful life means you're choosing to have this attitude of gratitude that comes out regularly as exercise, and your exercise of thankfulness. You know, you're turning that attitude into words and into actions. And for many of you, like, that's why you're here this morning. Like, good job. You got up. You put the paper down. You kind of wanted to keep reading the paper. You're watching the morning news. You want to keep doing that. You got this view on your back porch. The deer were just actually breaking through the woods when it was time to, you know, go get into the shower and get ready. And you did it, right? Because of thankfulness and gratitude, which led you to want to put that into action and to be here. And I'm going to give those of you online, I'm giving you some credit too, right? You could have watched something else. You could have chose something else, but you're watching this morning, and you're participating in worship that way. You're choosing to worship. You are worshiping because you're thankful for God and for all of the life that He has given you. And you transferred that thankfulness into action, the action of getting up on Sunday and being here and singing and praying and participating. Well, I got good news for you. I got a treat for you because you made that choice to be here this morning, right? We have three special opportunities today to continue in our exercise of gratitude. Because that's what we're all about today, is exercising gratitude. And so our kids and family ministry director, Molly Myron, I told you she's here with us this morning. She had Sunday school with kids before this, but now she's here with us in worship because we don't have kids' church on this first Monday of the month. And so she's going to come up today, and she's going to talk to us about three special opportunities that you all have to participate with us in your thankfulness. And I'll let you step, we'll step up here, so we're just a little higher. And so, great to have you here with us today.
Great, thanks here, for
here's a welcome
me.
Punch.
Oh, I needed that.
It, right? Yeah.
Yep. Just good. In case my coffee hasn't kicked in yet.
Right. Okay. I'm helping it. So what's kind of your hope as families? And once again, like, we want to open this up to all families. You're all part of this church family. You're part of a family. And so what are you kind of hoping for families as they kind of participate in these activities we're about to talk about for the month of November?
Well, if you ask most children what they're grateful for this time of year, one of the very first things they usually say is their family. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that through our children and through our church family, we will kind of take advantage of that. And we say that we're the most thankful for our family, so let's act on that this season. Let's spend some time, discuss what we're thankful for, how we've been blessed by the Lord, and live that out on a daily basis. So we've come up with three really fun activities. Most of the bulletins may have had a leaf in them, and you're probably thinking, what is the purpose of that leaf? And I'm about to tell you. And if you don't have one, we have a basket
What's
of
up,
leaves.
Marcia? Marcia can kind of pass those out. If you want to raise
I
your hand, Marcia's going to walk down there. If you didn't get a leaf, she's going to give you a leaf.
And you will also notice that behind the pews with the welcome cards, there should be some sort of a Sharpie. And what I asked the kids to do today in Sunday school was to think of all the things they were thankful for and write them down on the leaves. And they did that. And we have this lovely bulletin board over there. And what we're going to do is, after we write on the front of our leaf what we're thankful for, there's a little piece of paper or sticky backing on there that we'll remove. And we're going to add that to our beautiful bulletin board. So all month long, we can walk by and remember all of the things that we're thankful for.
So after communion, I'm going to move that board to the middle. And after you've received communion, on your way back, you can take your leaf that has the things that you're thankful for on the front of it and place that on that tree on your way back. And so everybody gets a chance to do this today.
Right. The second activity I have, and these last two can be found at different places by all of the exits. Mm-hmm. First, we have a Thanksgiving Act of Kindness Bingo, and this is kind of a fun challenge. You could do one every day, or you could try to choose a number to do each week, but each square on this has something kind that you can do to be a blessing or serve others. For example, praying for a friend, delivering treats to someone, surprise a friend with a pie, how appropriate after the apple pies and pecan pies are all made. So things like that. And you don't need to have children to do this. You could do it with grandchildren. You could do it with a spouse. You could encourage your siblings, however that looks in your family. We're a church family. We don't have to define that as mother, father, child, aunt, and uncle. We can all do that together. And the last thing I have is this lovely thankful journal.
And this thing's awesome. It looks amazing inside.
Yes. This is something I had found when I was a homeschool mom and I had done with my kids. And I liked it so much, I made sure I saved it. And I wanted to share it with you. If you flip through this, you'll find the typical things I'm thankful for, who God is, my family, things in the community. But as you work through it, it goes much deeper than that. And it will say, I am thankful for God's promises or God's scripture. So it goes a lot deeper than just the things we typically name off the top of our head when someone will say, what are you thankful for? Mm-hmm. And what I'd like to encourage you to do is pick one of these every day or so and spend some time with your family around the dinner table, maybe at breakfast, just some time when you have some quiet time, and discuss and share what you're thankful for under each day's heading. There's even a spot for kids if they can't write their own. They have a spot that they can draw their answer in there. But I think this would give us a great time to dig really deep and think about what we're truly blessed to have in our life. So I hope that these three activities that are available, you can choose to do some or all, however you like. I hope they bless you as you go through the season of gratitude.
And the journal's got enough that you could do, I think, one a day, Monday through Friday, for all of November, or you could just do one a day each day until Thanksgiving. And so it's a great, great opportunity, and it's a very, very cool reminder. And so I would encourage everyone has an opportunity to participate in these opportunities, right? We're going to exercise our thankfulness. Speaking of exercising our thankfulness, aren't we so thankful to have Molly here with us as our family and children's director?
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. We truly feel blessed to be here.
Yep, her and her family. I think we should say a prayer for Molly as she continues to do a lot for us here. Let's offer up a prayer, if that's all right.
That'd be great.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for Molly. I thank you for her ministry. Thank you for her girls and for her family. And Lord, we just know that you are good, that you are a father who loves her a great deal. And we just ask that you continue to bless her ministry, her work here, that more and more families and children would know the goodness of who you are and would know the love of a faith community because of her work and our work together. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And speaking of that work, there's a volunteer meeting afterwards if anybody's interested in helping with family and children's ministry. Where's that meeting happening?
That is going to be in the Commons, which is the area right outside the preschool room. We're going to have a nice meal. We have soup and sliders. A quick presentation should take about an hour or so. So if you're interested in that, feel free to come back and join us.
Do we need people to help with children and family ministry?
Do we have
so many people that we don't need anymore to help?
No, we haven't reached that point yet. We have several opportunities. We have 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock would be during our children's Sunday school hour. And the 3 or 4 weeks that we have children's church, we could use assistance in there from 10 to about 11 o'clock. If you'd like to stay the whole time, you're welcome to do that. And I will let you know it requires very little other than you just coming and sharing your love of children. I make sure all lessons are planned, materials are prepped and ready to go. So I would love to have you join me. No ongoing commitment is required. If you'd like to try it once, that would be fantastic. If you decide you like it, which I can guarantee you will, you'll want to come back. But we'll talk about that after you stop by the first time.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll steal that from you.
Sure.
So there you have it. There you have some great opportunities to exercise your gratitude this month. It's not just an attitude, but it's an exercise. And so I hope everybody, on your way out, please make sure to get the journal's fantastic. I know I want us to work on it. Also the bingo, and then we'll use the leaf here in just a little bit. So if you want to be writing some things on that leaf with the Sharpie that's provided, might be just a word instead of a whole sentence, but just whatever it is that you're thankful for. We're going to utilize that in just a minute. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, right, that's the next thing we're stepping into is communion. I want to close with an article that I saw this last week, and this is a little bit like 1 week old news now, but it's about the National Powerball Lottery. I don't know if you've been following that. But I thought this article that I saw was kind of relevant to what we were talking about today, so I thought I'd bring it up. And this article was actually on a friend's Facebook page. I was reading it, and as I read it, I thought, is this for real? Like, I'm going to look this up. I found the article on a major news website, but he had added a sentence. He had added a sentence, so you can kind of, in this short article, you can kind of see which sentence he added if you pick up on it. Here's the article. It says the jackpot, the Powerball jackpot set to reach the $1 billion mark after Saturday's drawing yielded no one. That was last week. Now it's like $1.4 billion. Nobody won yesterday. So the drawing yielded no one who could match all 5 numbers in the Powerball. So it's 6 numbers that you've got to match. So people weren't able to do all 5 and a 6th. And so they weren't able to claim the $825 million prize that was available last week. It's only the second time in Powerball's 30-year history that the jackpot has hit $1 billion, according to the lottery. Seven tickets matched five numbers. So seven people got five numbers right, but not the Powerball, the last one, according to the Multi-State Lottery Association. So six tickets won a $1 million prize, and one ticket sold in Florida that won a $2 million prize because it got the power play feature right, whatever the power play feature is. Sources revealed that all seven people were happy about winning, yet also angry not to have won $1 billion. And of course, he added that last sentence, right? I'm like, did it really? And so I went, and I'm like, no, he added the last sentence. But wouldn't that be a horrible place to be? Wouldn't that be horrible to be $1 million richer, but to be a bit resentful that you weren't $1 billion richer, right? Had you just had that one extra number? So can't you imagine some guy in 6 months sitting on his couch just bitterly thinking about the fact that he had to buy the $500,000 home instead of the $15 million home he could be sitting in had he hit the Powerball, right? And yet, that's how so many of us live our lives. That's how so many of us live our lives. Sometimes our attitude, it's going to struggle. And that's the beauty of exercise. That's why we exercise. You exercise because you're in the shape you want to be in. You exercise to get in the shape that you want to be in. That's generally why we exercise. That's true for your health, and it's true of your ability to experience greater levels of gratitude and thankfulness in your life. And so let's all do this with our kids in November. We've got a great opportunity here in November to practice this very thing. We'll make it a family experience. This is our church family experience in November to practice greater levels of gratitude, thankfulness, great family exercise. Molly has set us up well in providing us these different opportunities to exercise our gratitude. And so I hope you take this opportunity to grow in your thankfulness and your gratitude in God, in your faith, in the life that you've been given this month. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to grow in gratitude and thankfulness. Lord, our lives, just like the Israelites, it's a mixed bag back there. There are so many things to be grateful for, but there are some things that hurt as well, and that we probably are still today experiencing maybe some sadness or some grief or some anger or for some resentment about. And yet, Lord, we do not want those things to pull us down, to keep us from a place of gratefulness and faith and loving you. And so may your power be upon us this month as we stretch ourselves in exercising the attitude of gratitude. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.